Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we caught up with Danny Kelly, as always, on Wednesday for his My Sporting Life dip into the archive. That was very interesting today. We also spoke to Charlie Baker, our friend and yours, who was in the press box at a game last night and didn't particularly cover himself in glory.
He went very West Country.
He did. We also... what else did we do?
We had a chat. I brought in a cup draw for Small Pleasures, which I don't know if you enjoyed, but I persevered all the way through anyway.
I did enjoy it. Good. And I'm sure we did something. Oh, yeah, we told you about a novel way of buying football shirts, which was a bit weird and wonderful. So here it all is. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everyone. And the PSG Bayern game yesterday was absolutely brilliant. I found it so intense. I actually found it quite stressful.
Yeah. You know, it was
even
though you got no skin in the game.
I mean, I definitely wanted Bayern to go through.
Did you?
And I did. And
why?
I mean, it's a difficult. I just think I prefer that model, and it's not an ideal model to the PSG model of how a club is owned and run, I would argue.
Yeah.
But I'm still sort of convinced that Bayern will score. Like, even now, I just think at some point they're going to get a second goal.
What, in the next 10 minutes?
In the next couple of hours, I just think, because they were kept knocking at the door. I mean, PSG obviously were brilliant on the break, and they just couldn't quite get that goal that would have changed everything.
No, because obviously the plan was to go and get the third goal and then sort of look to ride it out. But they were Neymar was sensational. We'll talk to Tim Vickery. He said last night to ESPN Brazil that he's definitely staying at PSG. Yeah. So we'll talk to Tim about that. Aguero as well. PSG showing an interest in him, as well as Barcelona. Tim told us a couple of weeks ago that he thought Messi and Aguero was a good fit, and so Barcelona could show some interest.
At PSG, can you, that sort of like quick breaking?
Juve as well, Juve showing an interest in
it. I mean, if ever the phrase did everything but score Neymar last night, he was brilliant.
Sensational.
Yeah. I loved that. You know, that moment where Di Maria just controlled it so tightly and just played it across the box and it just eluded Neymar. And
it was
Jerome Boateng.
It was a bit Gazza 96, wasn't it?
Yeah. But Boateng's very casual back heel out for a corner. I presume the whistle had to have gone for him to be that casual.
Well, he's got Spurs written all over him. Definitely. And there's some talk yesterday that he fancies coming to us. But anyway, that was a great game. And I kind of kept an eye on Chelsea.
Yeah.
And they got it done. We've already pointed out you didn't think it was a stunning overhead kick.
No, and what a waste of time to do it then, really. I mean, like, just I feel this, and I think a lot of, I'm not the only fan to think this, you know, if Cambridge ever win a game 4-0, which is rare, I think you've wasted three goals there. Just win 1-0 and save those goals for the rest of the season. Taremi there's got to think, I don't need to score this brilliant overhead kick now.
Yeah.
I can do it at a moment that matters. I was trying to think
of the way football works.
I think it is. I think if you check the rule book, I think it's how it works. If you remember, I think Benteke scored a brilliant overhead kick for Liverpool, didn't he?
Mm.
Against Manchester United. Completely pointless. There was no need for it then.
Yeah.
Just save it for a moment
great
that matters.
Great pointless goals. You want to hear some great...
But we can pointless
Max
goals.
Max Rushton, the Christmas DVD. Remember them kids? Max Rushton's 50 great pointless goals. Great goals that meant absolutely nothing. You'll add to the list this afternoon and we'll put a little reel together. TalkSport.com /H&J, text to 81089 or tweet to TSH. What is the greatest pointless goal? Like, do you know that thing where the player scores it, it's a worldie, then he immediately runs into the net, gets the ball and runs back to the centre circle, even though they need another four goals in 4 minutes.
The only player, whenever you think of a player, who's the player you think of? When you think of player running to get the ball and running back to the centre circle?
Do you know, you've got me there. I can't think of one. Who's yours?
It's David Platt in an Arsenal shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what. I just feel like that's all David Platt did at Arsenal, was just get it in, just run back to the centre circle meaningfully.
Maybe he was some kind of monitor. Maybe that's what they brought him in for at that stage.
Yeah, but if ever there was a second screen game, it was Chelsea-Porto. I mean, it was a diligent performance.
Very, very good. Brilliant for them to get through the semi-finals. A good performance. They've been hard to beat, haven't they? But Conceição, the coach of Porto, not happy with Tuchel. Did you see this?
No.
He said, I was insulted by this gentleman who was next door. Oh. He was in the other dugout. Okay. My English is not perfect. It's no use talking about it. There was no exchange of words because I was focused on the game. Apparently, they had a bit of a row. You could see at the end, he said something to Tuchel. Tuchel gave him a kind of cursory fist bump and then ran on the pitch to his players, and Conceição sort of was still going at it. They'd had a row about something. But I did like the term, I was insulted by this gentleman who was next door. phrase book.
Maybe they live next door.
Yeah, that would be good. And now, we should. Howard Webb, who's been an occasional guest on this show over the years, a fine referee, of course, now, I think, working in the States. He got married, didn't he?
To fellow referee Bibiana Steinhaus.
Yeah, congratulations to them.
Yes, so we'd like to build the ultimate referee's wedding. Yeah. We don't know if this is exactly how they had their ceremony, but exactly how would two referees, in a perfect world...
Well, sadly, they had like a couple of witnesses. That was it. They couldn't because of sort of COVID regulations.
Of course, of course.
Bibiana was saying they would have loved a bigger wedding, but
so,
it wasn't
so imagine in a non-COVID world, how would two referees get married together? How would they have it in
what
a perfect...
What would go on?
What would happen? I mean, I put it out on Twitter. We've had a lot of response to
this. Let's have a few of those now.
Mark said, would there be someone watching the ceremony from Stockley Park, stopping the wedding every 5 minutes because someone was sat in the wrong seat? Pete saying, there's a lot of VAR-based ones. The vicar referring to Peter Walton in the BT studio to ask if he knows of any lawful reason.
Fletch saying, is there any lawful reason? Let's ask Peter Walton. Peter. And he said, I imagine Peter would say there isn't. Really?
Yes.
He wouldn't want to probably. He wouldn't particularly want to commit either way, would he? I don't think.
CR McGeegan says that holding up a big injury time board after the last round has been called at the reception is very good, isn't it? James, the bride and groom shake hands before the vows. Minister flips a coin to see who vows first.
That's very good. Yeah.
So if you could keep those coming, please. And Scott, one more. Scott says ref picks up the rings from the plinth as he walks down down the aisle.
That's
really nice. Yes.
So. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Max, do you have a Cristiano Ronaldo and Gareth Bale bicycle kick scrapbook? Because if anybody does,
I don't.
You do.
I don't. I mean, they're up there, both of them, two good overhead kicks. Neither of as good as Trevor Sinclair in the FA Cup
because
against Barnsley, of
Darren
course.
Fletcher told us categorically after that Porto goal to stick that in our Cristiano Ronaldo and Gareth Bale bicycle kick scrapbook, which I thought would be a great insult, wouldn't it? Well, you can stick that in your Cristiano Ronaldo and Gareth Bale bicycle kick scrapbook, mate.
How many scrapbooks does he have, do you reckon, Darren Fletcher? He must have. He's got one for that.
Fletcher must have a lot of scrapbooks.
Full of scrapbooks.
That's a very specific scrapbook.
Don't put that in that scrapbook. That was a volley. That's in the Yeboah scrapbook.
That's right.
You idiot.
That's right. That's half turns. That's the half turn scrapbook. So anyway, we digress. Let us know about that. Dean Ashton scored a great overhead kick at Mark Noble's testimonial. What a waste, says Jack the Happy
Hammer.
What a waste.
Yes, Josh was right about this. Is there a better pointless goal than Lamella's Rabona against Arsenal? Typical Lamella and Spurs fashion, then getting sent off.
It's true. One goal, it might win goal of the season, it won goal of the month, but it was a point, because Tottenham did what they always did, which was go one up and lose. Daniel De Rossi for Roma v Manchester United in the 7-1 drubbing. It has to be one of the best finishes I've ever seen, says Neil in Hoylake. No one remembers it because, of course, they were getting gubbed at the time and it was so pointless. Check it out on YouTube, he tells us. Well, we will do now, but it's on the DVD that Max is bringing out.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if you buy the DVD, you can get a free scrapbook of the pointless goals as well. So that's nice.
That's nice.
A binder.
Yeah, you can stick that in your Max Rushton's 50 best pointless goals scrapbook.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, a great many people are collectors of exotic football shirts.
Yes.
and maybe there's shirts out there you don't even know about. But
I mean, there's every chance, isn't there? I don't know every football team. I know I shouldn't be on TalkSport from admitting such a a lack of knowledge.
But you covet these shirts, don't you? And this is quite a novel idea because you don't exactly know what you're going to get. That is the story behind the Secret Shirt Company. And joining us now from the company is Rhys Whelan. Good afternoon, Rhys.
Hi, mate. Are you all right?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I was quite intrigued by this when I saw it online. So just explain how it works.
So basically, you'll go onto our website and you'll select to buy one of our shirts. And then you'll obviously put your size in. And then before checkout, you get, for your instance, you're a Spurs fan, so you'll say, like, I don't want an Arsenal jersey. Mm-hmm. Or you can, most people just say, if you're from the UK, most people just say, I don't want a UK team. So we'll send out, like, a team from abroad.
Okay.
And then we'll sort it out for you, basically.
Okay.
So you've got, because we were thinking that, because if all you can say is, I don't want the shirt of my rival, you could get Plymouth Argyle's third kit.
Yeah.
But you won't, you've got a choice not to get that.
Yeah. You've got a choice, like... You won't get a rival shirt, basically.
Yeah, okay.
But there's other people that do colours, like, they don't like a particular colour, you know what I mean? So, like, Sunderland fans don't want black and white most of the time.
Of course, yeah, they're not going to want a Santos shirt, are they, or something like that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, do you have just a massive warehouse of kits? Where did you get them all? Or are you just sort of constantly on the lookout? Or are you in touch with all the clubs?
That we're just constantly on the lookout. At the minute, we're dealing with some clubs directly, and then we're obviously different brands directly as well. And then we've got a club in Holland that have reached out to us that will want to get the kits on board with us. So, yeah, it's going good.
And
is it kind of tend to be a present? So someone will say, I'll go to you guys because I want to buy a present for it, sort of friends or family or whatever. And we know they like football shirts. So it would just be a surprise for us when they open it and a surprise for them as well.
Well, we've had Valentine's Day has just been. So we had quite a few people ordering for the boyfriend's Valentine's Day. So that was something. But obviously, we've only started in November. So we're kind of new to it all, so
yeah.
we're not had Father's Day yet, so I'm guessing Father's Day will be busy.
Yeah, I imagine you will be, yeah. Because you've turned up some brilliant shirts. I mean, I've on your Twitter feed, I mean, you've got a lot of very exotic ones, not just shirts I've never seen, but some teams I've probably never heard of. But there is some stuff from the States and all over South America. And so, yeah, as you say, you're turning up interesting and different sorts of shirts.
Well, yeah, it's like there's an amateur soccer team or football team we sent out called Providence City, and I was saying to my dad at the time, oh, I don't know if to send this out or not because the person might not like it, you know what I mean? And then so we sent it out, and it's probably one of the best reactions we've got, you know what I mean? It was like a hammerhead shark on a football top. He did really well. So, yeah.
Swampy in Ashford says, afternoon, guys. My daughter, 19, has got one of these football shirts. She doesn't even like football. She thought it was great. What happens? Let's say I buy Paul a secret football shirt.
Thanks. Cheers,
what size are you? I can do it right now. Paul, are you would you say a large to play
I'm
safe?
Probably a large.
Probably
yeah,
a large.
Yeah.
And what if he happens to get, you know, Montevideo United and he's got an irrational hatred of Montevideo United. Is that just bad luck? Or would he be able to, if I kept the receipt... And he was rude enough to say, I don't like the present. Would he be able to get a swap? Or is part of the deal, you get what you're given?
Well, we do offer one-time return, you know, so obviously people, it's not fair. Like, if they genuinely don't like, some people just genuinely might not like it. So we do offer a one-time swap. But obviously you can get the other side where people just keep trying to look every single time, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
trying to limit it to... one time only.
Otherwise, it's a, you know, you can't have a business called the Secret Shirt Company and then someone sends you a secret shirt and then you keep sending it back until you get the one you want.
I think it should be get what you're given. I mean, there is, I guess the point is, Reese, yeah, if you want a particular shirt, there is a way of doing that, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, exactly.
And do you do sort of, is there a sort of set, you do like classic shirts as well, do you?
Well, obviously, they're quite hard to try and get hold of because... They're not not so many about. So we're trying to introduce more as we go along, but at the minute, it's we send out probably anywhere between this year's to about 10 years ago.
Okay.
10 years ago.
Okay, it counts as classic, I'd say. Well, it's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. So, Paul, I've filled it in large.
Oh, you haven't. You're not buying me a shirt.
I am,
you're
why not?
You're buying me a shirt.
I am, yeah. So I've filled it in large.
Teams I was only joking.
Teams to avoid Arsenal. I need your address, Paul. Do you want to do that in the break, or do you want to do it now?
Well, one thing is, we've had a few footballers buy from us, actually.
Oh, really?
Which is a bit mad. A championship captain, so I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, I wonder if they've kind of...
And did you give them special treatment, Reece, or is it just all the same? Do you just put your hand in a bag and just see what comes out?
Well, we did sort them out a little bit, to be fair.
Yeah. How do you select? So Max is going to send. I mean, he will or he won't, but it doesn't matter. I'll talk him out of it. I feel like I've forced him into it.
No, you haven't. I'm happy to do it.
How do you pick the shirt that goes in the box? You say, I think, well, I don't know, they're blokes from, Withenshaw, so I'll send him a Colo Co. Do you know what I mean? How do you put it together? What do you do?
To be fair, it is kind of random.
Yeah,
so I don't know how. To be fair, it's just literally random.
Yeah.
But most people enjoy, for the majority, most people enjoy what they get, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, I it's a lovely idea.
And it is a lovely idea.
Yeah. We wish you well, Vic Reece. Thanks very much for explaining.
Yeah. And one thing, my mate who I'm doing it with is a big Bolton fan. And he wanted to get a special mention to Bolton because obviously.
Do you know what? Very upset, Reece, that I was begging Salford to get an equaliser because as a Cambridge fan, we weren't playing last night, but I was watching all those results. Bolton won. Morecambe won as well.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a brilliant night, but there were Tranmere didn't get a point. Honestly, it's so stressful.
You'll get a Bolton shirt.
I would rather be 11th. I've said it before. I can't bear it. I can't bear it. I'm studying Bolton's fixtures for the next. Why am I doing that? I don't care. Morecambe are
playing. Wearing
it's
a
so
cardboard
stressful.
Belt.
Exactly.
Cheers, Reece. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Reece.
See you later. Bye.
There we are. The MD of Secret Shirt.
I'll get you a shirt, Paul. Why not? We've been working together a little while. You've been very welcoming.
I mean, I occasionally bring you in the old cookie of a Thursday.
That's fine.
And you're going out and you're buying me a shirt.
Good. Just get me a... Just come around and fix my...
Could you
fix my tap?
Well, I've told you what it is. I've told you what your plumbing problem is.
Yeah, but you didn't want to do it. I mean, I even recorded. I recorded the sound of the tap.
Yeah.
I thought we could get some airtime with that. You weren't so convinced about that, were you?
It's a very straightforward washer change.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's a 10-minute job for somebody who knows what they're doing, but not
10,
you.
10-minute job.
Not you.
Could get some air... Get some content out of that, couldn't we?
Anyway.
I guess I could send it to myself and then bring it in for you. You could open it live on air. That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
It could be quite fun.
Fair enough. All right.
I don't have to. If you don't want it,
no, I just
do you not like receiving gifts.
No, I do like receiving gifts. I just wonder. I feel beholden. I just wonder. You might. ask me.
I don't want anything back.
In 10 years,
I don't want anything back. From
in
you.
10 years, you might come to me and ask me to kill a man. You know, and I'm not prepared to do that. I'd like to point that out.
Once again, it would make some content. Paul,
yeah,
that's what I'm thinking
you'll,
about.
You'll be. I'll be. Anyway, we'll move on. it is Danny Kelly joining us very shortly to delve into the My Sporting Life archive. We'll bring you some of the best moments from a great sports person. That's all coming up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport. Every week around this time, we delve into the My Sporting Life archive. Danny Kelly was your host for a great many of the shows, and with sports great and good long-form interviews. And we take a different subject every week. All of these are available for you to listen back to at your leisure on the TalkSport app, which we can download, of course, wherever you get your apps. Danny joins us once again. Good afternoon, Danny.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hey, Danny.
We turn now, for the first time, I think, in this slot, to the world of horse racing, don't we?
Yeah. I got the chance to spend some time and to make, as you say, a long-form interview with Bob Champion. And it was very different from normally My Sporting Life interviews. You've got somebody's whole life is a succession of vast achievements and gold medals here and trophies there and Sports Personality Year and all the rest of those things. And it's often a kind of rush to fit them all in or to find a theme that allows you to fit them all in. Very different with Bob. He would not mind me saying this, I know. Here is a person who had, you know, it was a decent sports career, but had one astonishing moment in the sun when, having had a very difficult time himself with his own health, I think everyone knows the story. He then rides a horse that had itself been a croc to Old Niti, to one of the most famous victories ever in, as we saw at the weekend, a race that captures the national and international imagination like no other. So what was interesting was, you know, we all knew we were building up to Bob becoming ill and then coming back to win the race at the Grand National with the horse. But actually, it was a charming interview besides that, because he is so self-effacing that, you know, he told the story of his childhood and growing up to be a jockey and his battles with his size. He's rather big for a professional jockey, beautifully. And so he made me feel comfortable, where normally it's my job to make the interviewee feel comfortable. In this case, he kind of knew that we were heading for his illness and one huge sporting achievement. And he just allowed me to be comfortable in the build up to that.
We saw what winning the national means to jockeys with Rachel Blackmore at the weekend. And
amazing.
You spoke to Bob about that, just that moment of realisation when he'd won the big one on Alderneaty.
I didn't really get too serious with the old horse. He was trying his heart out, and he kept galloping, and he didn't slow down at all.
Everyone was aware of the story before the race started, and in every home in Britain, everyone was going mad. What did you feel, Bob?
Well, I couldn't hear the crowd, let's be honest. And, you know, Sir Peter O'Sullivan, the greatest commentator of all time, a great man. I didn't hear a thing, let's be honest. You're concentrating so hard. And, you know, basically, you know, I pulled up and then all hell let loose, let's be honest. And that's the thing I remember more than anything, going into that old weighing room. And
how did your fellow jockeys react, given that you've been away for a year and a half?
Oh, they're great, you know, because jockeys are
always... Wish you stayed away, yeah.
Yeah, jockeys are always coming back, you know, from broken legs and everything. You know, jump jockeys are the best friends you can have in the world, let's be honest. And till you get down the start, you start the race, you're doing your job. But soon as you pull up, you're all the greatest mates again. And, you know, that's the great part of jump racing.
It's interesting, Danny, isn't it? Because you talk about these two seminal moments, and we've got the clip as well. Everyone, to some levels, have been touched by cancer, haven't they? But, mm-hmm. you know, that idea of what it must be like to be diagnosed with it. We can hear that clip as well, because, as you say, they're the two sort of most important parts of Bob Champion's career.
I'd started going out with a vet. The first thing she said to me was, if I was you, I'd get on the first plane back to England and see a specialist. Well, that put me off my stroke, promise you.
She took one look at the the Champion tackle here, for the sake of openness, and said, no, you don't want to be sleeping with me. You want to be getting yourself to a hospital.
Yeah, and that was it. Landed at Heathrow, two operations later that week. I'm told I've got cancer it spread two or three parts of my body. It got into my lymph glands and it moved up around my lungs area. And so I had to have, you know, chemotherapy, but the odds weren't particularly good. Professor Peckham was the doctor then, and he said, you know, I've got about a 35% chance of living. And if you don't have any treatment, you might live 4 or 5 months. So the odds weren't particularly good, let's be honest. They were pumping bleomycin, vinblastine and platinum into me every day, and I was scared, I'll be honest. The treatment was knocking me about, and, you know, I was petrified, I must admit. I was so weak, I lost so much weight, I went down to about 8 stone 7. Drugs had damaged my lungs, I couldn't breathe very well. And, you know, I came out and I kept trying riding out ponies. It just wasn't going, I couldn't breathe. But it was hard, I really struggled. I kept thinking, why me?
Well, yeah, and it's not many of your guests, I would imagine, have had film made of their lives, have they, Danny?
No, and look, I don't want to get too mawkish with people we'll come back to the film in a minute, too mawkish with people on national radio. I mean, I did mention to Bob that I myself had survived cancer 22 or 3 years ago. I'm pretty open about it. And it was a moment then, I think it helped him to open up about it, because he said to me he was a little bit uncomfortable talking about details, though as you hear there, once he got going, he couldn't get personal enough, could he? what was really interesting was the moment when he said to the surgeon told him that he had only 30% chance of survival. And I can remember in my own case the exact moment when you ask the surgeon, so what's the prognosis then? How does this go? And 30% was much worse than mine. So it was just an interesting way that that's how, if you do get that dread diagnosis, and I urge anybody who's got anything they're not happy with about their body just now to go and get it checked out, because I've subsequently found out from friends of mine, because of what happened to me, they do this, they do that, they do the other. And 99% of the time, you're fine. You probably need a lie down and two junior Disprin. But he was, you know, really open about it in the end. And that great story about his new girlfriend taking one look at what can only be described as the below the waist region.
Yes.
And saying, hang on, you need to be in a hospital. The film is charming, isn't it? It's one of, we make in Britain, we make very good films about underdogs, whether it's Billy Elliot, whether it's you know, the bloke stripping or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're very good at that. Here's a really bleak situation. We're warning you, first, somewhere down the line, it's all going to be okay, and there's no complications in the plot, and it's not necessarily written to win a Pulitzer Prize or an Oscar, but we do those films very, very well. And, you know, Champion, I think it's what the name of the film is called, isn't it, is absolutely brilliant.
Yes, excellent film, yeah. Well, good stuff, Danny. We'll do it all again next week. We'll catch up with you then. Thanks very
much.
Can't wait.
Very good. See you soon.
Take care. Danny Kelly there. Every week we delve into the My Sporting Life archive. As we said, all of them available on the TalkSport app. Go and check it out and you can listen back at your leisure.
Do you know, I haven't listened to the Jimmy White episode yet, but I've told that story a million times.
What about him, the brother?
About him taking his dead brother out to the pub. Pub, and the taxi driver saying, he doesn't look too well. It's such an amazing line, isn't it?
Well, you missed some real generosity in the last half hour. As Max rushed in, as we spoke to a guest who has a kind of secret football shirt company, Max said he would buy me a shirt.
I've done it already.
Christian in Hull says, Max is only offering to buy you a shirt, Paul, and you'll feel charitable enough to not wipe the floor with him in the birthday spread tomorrow.
These two things are mutually exclusive.
It feels like a bit of a bung, this
You
stuff.
Reckon?
Feels like a bung.
You reckon? Have I brought the birthday spread into disrepute?
They do arrive in a brown paper envelope, these shirts, don't they?
Oh, no, have I broken FFP?
You want to give it to me at a service station somewhere, dear? We'll meet at Leicester Forest Services, then give it to me under the table.
Are you going to take me to the Court of Arbitration for Sport point?
We're going to Cass. Okay, I'll give him
enough.
A call.
Fair enough. Why not? There's some content in it. We'll do a show from there.
Yeah.
What's Cass like? We'll find out.
Yeah. You are telling us about the 50 great pointless goals. The overhead kick last night in the Porto-Chelsea game with 30 seconds left, whatever it was. What's the point of scoring a great goal then? Ryan, the Chelsea fan, said, Graham Lassau delicately chipping Peter Schmeichel from 40 yards. Although we were 5-0 down at the time in the cup. Why bother? He says, well, you know, if you're Graham, you're just going to do it, aren't you? I've had a few good ones like that. Alano scored a great goal against Middlesbrough in the last game of the 2007-2008 season. Sven's final game at City, although it was 8-1 in the end to Borough. Remember that mad game last day of the season?
Crazy,
John in Runcorn.
And on the perfect referee's wedding, Howard Webb has married a referee.
Yeah.
As well. So we want to create the perfect one. Stephen has just said, listen, if you apply these rules for this wedding, you have to apply them for every wedding. We are just asking for consistency.
That's all we want. That's definitely all we want. So let us know. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. What may have happened when two referees got married? And the other thing was, when friendlies go bad, maybe we should set that up. This was a story Charlie Wyatt in The Sun today said, his piece says, Sunderland put on a staff versus coaches friendly match with disastrous consequences. The new owner, Kirill Louis-Dreyfus, and the manager, Lee Johnson, were involved. And to their horror, the under-23 coach, Elliot Dickman, suffered a double leg fracture after being wiped out by media officer Oscar Chamberlain, says Charlie. At least the man being carted off to hospital was not the club's new billionaire owner. But we do wish him a speedy recovery. That is a nasty injury.
Do you want one of them?
Yeah, go on.
Steve says, my American fiancée had moved to Bristol with me. Her new boss, a big Spurs fan, invited me to join their weekly five-a-side company game. She'd been employed by him for 3 days. In a 50-50, I accidentally broke his arm and leg in one challenge. We are no longer together.
Oh, dear. So let us know when friendlies go bad and what possibly happened when the two referees got married. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ, that's TSHANDJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The Court of Arbitration for Birthday Spreads has been in touch, Paul. A reminder to Max Rushton that any appeal to CAS is futile. CABS are the ruling body. We will be taking particular interest in tomorrow's game, given the recent questionable purchasing in the hope that Shirtgate can be avoided.
Good there stuff. Okay, so we'll see what goes on tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Now, you probably will be aware of the press box, of course, where the broadcasters and the press sit for football matches. And there is a certain etiquette, a certain way to behave, I think, once 100%. You entered that. That
have to be neutral, no football shirts,
no
colours.
Press area. Now, last night, Charlie Baker, TalkSport presenter, and our producer here on the show, John Cadogan, they are both Torquay United fans, and our old mate Tim Vine managed
it's
to get them into Sutton's ground for the game between Torquay United and Sutton. They were in the press box, and as we said, there is a certain etiquette to be followed.
Yes.
Torquay scored a late winner, and I think basically the code was broken. We'll bring you. This is Charlie Baker hanging over the balcony as the Torquay players and manager head into the dressing room. If you're a budding journalist, don't do this.
Gary Johnson's yellow army. Gary Johnson's yellow army. Gary Johnson's yellow army. Gary Johnson's yellow army. Yellow army. Yellow army. Yellow army. Gary Johnson's yellow army. Gary Johnson's yellow army. Gary Johnson's yellow army, yellow army, yellow army. Gary Johnson's yellow army. Yes, Aaron, get in, boys. Gary Johnson's yellow army, yellow army, yellow army. Yes, Gary. Well done, mate. Yes, mate. Who is this? All the boys on the Twitter, Gary. Oh. It's Gary Johnson's yellow army.
Sounds like the first 5 minutes of Saturday's warm-up, generally. Yeah.
Very much, Gary. What I take away from that is Gary Johnson's yellow army. I don't know about you. So, anyway, joining us now...
For a full apology.
Charlie Baker. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon. My brother said, well, watched it, and he said, we're thinking of staging an intervention.
What was it? I mean, it must have been great just to be at a game.
Oh, it was a... I'd forgotten how much I love it. But that feeling when you score an 80th minute goal, when you've been knocking on the door the whole game, the 80th minute winner, beautiful cross into the box, diving header from Asa Hall, our skipper, who had an absolutely brilliant game, absolutely had Buteman, their main midfielder, in his pocket the whole game, diving header, bottom corner. John Cadogan, our producer, I was very well behaved, I will say that, until that point.
Until that point,
but John Cadogan, our producer, was more or less on the pitch when that went in. And I just sort of held it together with a good old-fashioned British stiff upper lip and just sort of punched the air slightly and then had a...
You should have written something down or leant back and said, whose was the assist, asked another journalist there, slid on your knees like Brian Kidd and... at Sheffield Wednesday.
It was unbelievable. But then at the end, you see, so we're in with the director's box and all that. And then at the end, because of the social distancing, the teams go off different points. Mm-hmm. So what happened was, we'd gone for a cup of tea at half time. And then on the way back, I was walking with Tim and John, and I went through a door, and suddenly Tim and John had gone, and I found myself in the players' tunnel, walking onto the pitch. And I thought, I don't think I've gone the right way. But anyway, at the end of the game, I knew where the Torquay players went off, so I went down to that bit, and I was on my own, is the thing. And I thought, these poor lads, this team, who are absolutely brilliant and flying at the moment, absolutely, they've had no fan input at all. Like the whole season, you know, about five games or whatever. So they need a bit of love, bit of momentum. And of course, I love the song Gary Johnson's Yellow Army.
Yeah, we gathered. Yeah.
Strange as a Cambridge fan hearing Yellow Army going, I've shouted Yellow Army for like half an hour at a time.
I mean, so you were the Yellow Wall. You're the equivalent of the Yellow Wall on your own yesterday.
But they seem to appreciate it,
the players. They acknowledge it. And then obviously Gary Johnson did, the manager, because it is, of course, his Yellow Army. without any shadow of a doubt.
Loads of yellow art, loads, and also they're all playing in white, so I do sound a bit mad. Yeah. White away kit.
It would be worse, Charlie, if the players were ignoring you and just going, not him, just covering their eyes.
Not him. Yeah, they're just, again.
But this interesting thing is, and you both know about this, is that next Tuesday, Cambridge are away at Leighton Orient.
Yes.
And somebody, a listener has got in touch and he has got a flat which overlooks Brisbane Road, not just like half the pitch, like a brilliant view.
I've seen the view, it's amazing. He asked me, like an exec box view, basically,
do you want to come and... He'll say, I'll make myself scarce. Do you want to sit on the balcony with a mate or two? And so it's a bit like you, Charlie. I haven't been to a game forever because we haven't been able to go for games. And my first reaction was... This is a terrible way for my life to end, isn't it? But now I'm bringing some muscle with me, and I can't wait.
So it's not going to be the Alan Partridge, the Max Rushton room.
Exactly, but I can't wait. And it's the thought of seeing, especially if we get a late winner, because like Charlie, just looking at the top of the National League, it is stressful. The top of League Two is
so stressful, isn't it?
And it's sort of... It's been so long since Cambridge have been in a position like this that I've forgotten how you're meant to behave and how you're meant to...
Don't jump off the balcony. Well, don't do a John Carrigan.
You're meant to lose your mind. I was sat next to the Bruce, who's the chairman of Sutton United, was four socially distanced seats away from me. And at the end of the match, he just went... You are no longer welcome at Sutton United FC.
Yeah, I feel for Tim. Tim's going
to, isn't it?
Tim, by association, poor old Tim Vine's going to get himself banned from his own club.
Well, I think they took us because last time we went, we lost 2-0. I think they thought, all right, they were a good bad omen for Torquay United. But yeah, we'd be top. Torquay would be top, but we had 3 points taken off us because of Dover Athletic. Not playing anymore. So we had 3 points taken off us. But look, it's 10 games to go. It's absolutely anybody's in the top six. So you just got to hope the momentum sticks.
Was Tim wearing his Panini stickers suit for the game last night? That would have looked good. Tim Viner's made a suit and tamale of Panini stickers. It's a great look for the football, that would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That Tim really commits to anything he does fully. He turned up in his car in the car park, and on the top of it, it's written in, I think, white gaffer tape, "It's not me," right? It says on top of his car.
Really?
And I said, what is that for, Tim? He said, that's if I'm ever in a helicopter police chase.
That's a great idea.
That is so brilliant.
It's a very good idea. Never off, you see. Never off, Tim Vine.
Style.
Yeah. Marvellous. So very you're back at the weekend, I take it, alongside back Matt Rushton, yeah?
Saturday, back on Saturday morning with Autobiography War.
Here we go. Brilliant. It is the Crankies versus TBC. And, there are two possibles.
Goodness me.
Somebody, and I lost the letter, which is poor of me, sent us Jerry Hanwell's autobiography.
Right.
But there are calls for Andre Agassi to be put back in after a very controversial defeat to Tony Cascarino. So
the Crankies versus Jerry Halliwell, that's a clash of the titans.
That is
isn't
a clash
it?
Of the titans, absolutely right.
It's a sort of early 90s Royal Variety performance backstage mashup.
Yeah, it sounds good. Brilliant, Charlie. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate.
Catch up
Thanks
with you
for
soon.
Having me, lads.
There we are. Charlie Baker there.
Even more West Country, isn't he?
He's become more so. Getting to a game, I've got to see a couple of non-league games a few months back, but I'm looking forward to getting to a match again.
Next Tuesday will be the League Cup final. I'll record a bit. They seem nice. I've done a bit of this guy who's invited me, I've done a bit of a sort of Google adventure just to check. It seems like a legit kind of guy. It seems like a very friendly offer and a kind thing to do, not a psychopath. So I'm happy with
it. Well, let's hope you're right.
Anthony says, my dad was a referee and he received a guard of honour of assistant referees flags from a lot of guests who were also referees.
I imagine that's
wedding.
Quite... I'm sure Howard would have had the same thing. If he would have had all his old mates there and colleagues over the years, there would have been the guard of honour of flags, but sadly they couldn't.
Made a great picture. My stepmum's face wasn't the best. And Andy says, for the perfect... referee's wedding. Mike Riley poorly implementing new tech for the music sound system, meaning the master of ceremonies in the middle has no idea what song is meant to be playing next, and it will be playing it too loudly, making everyone at the wedding hate the new system. This is very good.
Can you remember the fearsome sight of Kalina as an usher? Oh, so okay. That's the first thing you see at the door. Whoa, blimey, mate. I wasn't ready for that. Don't hide like that. I'm not hiding. Yeah, that would be... Anyway, so this is because Howard Webb, one of our finest referees, has married Bibiana Steinhaus, his referee partner. Mm. And congratulations to them both. It's had to be quite low-key because of the virus. But just imagine some of the things that could happen when two referees marry. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
Ed says, I think this is how linesmen and women are made.
Oh, yeah, you could well be right. It is Paul Hawksby and... I was going to say Andy Jacobs. It clearly
doesn't
not.
Matter. We're all the same. He's me, Andy, Charlie. We're all interchangeable.
He's back Friday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, Hawksby, Max Rushton here on TalkSport. I don't know if I haven't done this one yet. Steve Robinson says the vicar tells the ref/groom he may kiss the ref/bride. Then blows a whistle to start the kiss, does three sharp blows of the whistle to signify the end of the ceremony. And a happy ref couple exit through a guard of honour archway of offside flags. Well, that's what, offside flags? Yeah, I kind of know what you mean. So keep those coming. What could happen when two referees marry, as has been the case? TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TS. H and J. I'm assuming the ref's watch vibrates as he carries his new bride over the threshold, says Andy in Liverpool. Steve, quite possibly.
Stevie says the single bridesmaids start inching forward over the vanishing spray.
Yeah.
Just as the bride is about to take the free kick, brackets, throw the bouquet.
There will be the spray. The photographer will probably have the spray when he brides mother and he'll be making sure. Just step back a little bit, granddad. Just 10 yards.
And Dave says, I'd love to see Nigel de Jong run down the aisle and launch a 2-foot chest assault on the vicar.
Well, it's all right because Howard wouldn't see it. I'm only kidding, Howard. He'd never live it down. It's one moment in a brilliant career. And he was unsighted, for goodness sake.
Of course he was. Well, he's getting married, wasn't he? He had other things to think about.
Of course he was. He didn't see it. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ. A little bit later on, we'll talk Liverpool and indeed City ahead of their game tonight. What are you going with in terms of laptop and TV? Because you have to make, you've got both games.
I'm going Dortmund City on the big telly to begin with. Unless Liverpool score, and then I might switch it.
I think that's going to be, it's going to be one of those nights, isn't it, where you're switching between the games. That is very true. We mentioned earlier on Dean Ashton scored a fantastic overhead kick in a, I think, Mark Noble's testimonial. Stephen says, another stunning overhead kick by Dean Ashton came in a 4-1 defeat at Old Trafford. We're building the 50 greatest goals that really didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And we were saying last night...
To relaunch my TV career, Paul,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's so a DVD, or maybe we can sell it to TV. So, yeah, Dean Ashton, 4-1 defeat at Old Trafford. Tevez scored a 30-yarder in the same game, I think. So, yeah,
oh, yes, I know that, Dean Ashton. Over. It's good,
a brilliant
kick.
Goal, but yeah. it was in a heavy
pointless,
defeat.
Pointless, Dean. What are you doing, wasting your time doing
keep,
it then?
Keep them coming, then. 50 pointless goals. When the game was gone, you scored a worldie. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We've been talking about the marriage of Howard Webb and Bibiana Steinhaus, two referees, and you've been telling us some of the things that could have happened had it been the big do that sadly they were robbed of because of the virus. Added minutes board, says Martin, is held up as the best man speech goes on too long. You could see that, couldn't you?
Tim Booney's got the same. Yeah, best man is warned about time wasting.
Oh, okay.
And 30 minutes is added to the end of the wedding reception.
Guests of honour, Jose and Fergie, stand up tapping their watches out of habit, says Martin. Thank you very much for that.
Jonathan has checking guests' shoes before they enter to make sure of no price stickers on the bottom and ensuring undergarments match the outfit. Obviously, yeah, any sock tape has to be the right colour, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does.
For this wedding.
You're also telling us about when friendlies go bad. We mentioned a game between staff and coaches, a little friendly, and one of the coaching staff very badly injured, double leg fracture in this little knockabout game, which featured the new owner and manager Lee Johnson. We say we wish the coach well, but Carl in Liverpool says, went to Morocco, they had a staff versus guests 11-a-side game. Staff took the game very seriously. I'm a centre half and I had a collision with their striker, a waiter. He hit the deck and I just told him to get up, man up. All hell broke loose and I had all the staff shouting at me and I had no idea what was being said. Anyway, it turns out the bloke had broken his leg in eight places.
Oh, dear.
Eight places.
Eight, Carl.
Blimey.
It's like just a collision. I had a collision, he says.
Friendly, really.
What sort of collision
friendly
is that?
Friendly really gone
Somebody
wrong.
Somebody told me to Google China versus QPR.
Oh, yeah, that was a youth game. That was appalling. Yeah, I remember that happening.
2007. It's quite extraordinary.
We did speak to Mark Bircham at the time. It was a bit of a shocker.
Unconscious defenders and all sorts of things happening.
Yeah, they all kicked off. They did take it very seriously.
Who knew that China versus QPR would be quite the story. Biko says at the wedding, Mike Dean is the best man in keeping with it's all about me. We'll find a way to make the wedding all about him, of course. Another one. Daniel has sent the gif of Mike Dean standing, celebrating Tranmere going. John, goes out saying Mike Dean would drink too much, get Larry and trying to make the whole day about him. Poor old Mike.
John Moss would be the DJ because he's got his...
absolutely, the mobile DJ, John Moss.
He's got really, the wheels really of steel. He's got his own record shop, hasn't he? So that's the music covered for the do.
I think this is going to be such a wonderful day.
The cake probably did have two... I mean, it's not even a thing. It would have had two referees on it, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be a Battenberg, wouldn't it be? It'd be a Clattenburg cake.
It'd be a Clattenburg. Yes. Well done. That's good. Thank you, caller. You've won the £100 worth of vouchers this afternoon with your Clattenburg cake.
I've got the top 50 small things that make you smile. Would you like to pick a number between 1 and 50? And it'll just make you smile thinking about it.
Okay.
From the papers. Top 50. I don't want to read out the whole 50. Yeah, I reckon you'd get bored of that, Paul.
All right, then. 28.
Laughing out loud at a film. 27 is a good one.
Okay,
seeing a butterfly. Who answers that in a survey?
That's a bit Yoko Ono. It's not one of her tweets.
It's the little thing. I've had it's been tough for everybody. I haven't been able to go out. But do you know what? One thing that would just make me smile today is seeing a butterfly.
Yeah. 44.
44.
Doing the style of Graham Kelly.
Okay.
44.
The smell of toast in the morning will play.
Will play number 21.
Number 21, finishing a really good book. I actually find finishing a really good book quite upsetting because I've enjoyed the book.
Yeah.
The end of the book is probably a bit frustrating. I feel a bit bereft.
You think I'm never going to meet those
people
again.
Do another one.
Number 16.
Number 16. Finding money in a purse, wallet you'd forgotten about.
Number 2.
Will play sleeping in a freshly made bed. Got to one more, Paul. I'm really enjoying
this. Just to get the end of this draw.
Okay.
49.
Number 49, swimming outside.
We'll play 42.
And number 42, discovering new food. Totally.
What a load of old nonsense that is.
Absolutely. 43, hearing the wind blow through the trees. That was quite nice, isn't it? That's a small pleasure. Small pleasures.
All of it cosmic.
We'll play number 38, having a good hair day. And it's interesting, though, because
I'm having mine cut tomorrow.
Because it is starting to look a little Antonio Conte.
It's starting to look like a wig.
I did think the other day.
It looks like a wig.
I did think to myself, maybe Paul has it. And Paul, good for you, if that's what you want, maybe you have a wig. And I've never discovered it. Because it's just, at the back, there's a bit of weight to it.
It's too much weight.
It is a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be, I'm getting it sorted.
Big day for you tomorrow, isn't it? There's the birthday spread.
Yeah.
Easy win in that, haircut, and a pint in a pub.
Yeah, it's all happening. It's a lockdown is officially over.
That's not in the top 50. That's not staying in bed on a Sunday morning, is it?
I'm smiling now, isn't it? No wind through the trees, mate.
That's not number 36 people watching, is it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Mike in Lincoln is probably not listening to us.
No, he's just sending it to the wrong radio station.
To our sister station, Virgin.
Virgin.
Radio.
What does he want?
Andy says, very easy, it's an easy gig, that. And he just plays some songs and just, you know, scroll up and down, doom yeah. scroll, you know, look at what's terrible in the world and just play another record. Mike says, hi, Ben, loving the show, sat in the garden, chilling with a cider. Would love to hear a bit of the Verve's history. Haven't heard it for ages. Cheers. Well, if it's good enough for Mike and Ben, it's good enough for us, isn't yeah. it?
Should we play a bit
well,
when we come back?
Let's have a bit of the Verve's.
We got something now?
Here's the Verve's history.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to Talk Sport. Here's the Verve's history. Coming up in a second, Champagne Supernova. Yeah. And after that, Nickelback, live on Virgin.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
John's been in touch. Hi, Max. Any chance of some Slipknot duality? I'm not. Is that good? Is that sort of? I don't know if that's suitable afternoon
probably
music.
Not.
But I'm sitting in the bathroom drinking a beer. Haven't heard it for ages. Cheers.
Earlier on, Ben seemed to think he was listening to music radio. He sent it to the wrong station.
Yeah. We'll play you some Sade instead.
That's right. Yeah, it depends which station it is.
It's a bit like, you know, when you do your Waitrose order. You say, we couldn't find your mushrooms, we got your bread, we couldn't find your Slipknot, we brought you the Verve again.
It's a substitution. You know. We saw Boris Johnson, did you, out jogging? We've got used
did
to
I?
His kind of fairly makeshift outfits that he wears when he goes jogging.
He doesn't wear
jogging.
A sort of tighty Under Armour.
No, he doesn't. He wears that kind of posh bloke's crag oppers fleece, pair of rugby socks, you know, odd trainers.
Do you think it's affected or do you think it is just
what's
on the floor?
Oh, massively affected.
Okay,
he spends hours cultivating
about it,
that look.
So, yeah.
Definitely. He was wearing a Grimsby Town... I don't know what Lloyd Griffith make of this. He was wearing a Grimsby Town FC beanie hat with the tag from the shop still attached.
He nicked it.
apparently. But he was wearing that when he was on holiday in the Highlands. So he's taken this hat with
you
the price on it.
Can't send it back if you've worn it more than once.
Well, he's taken... And he's worn it to run in. So when he goes back to Scotland, if you sold him a Grimsby hat in Scotland and he tries to bring it back after two sweaty
who's
runs.
Selling a Grim- whose shop is... I mean, if you're selling Grimsby hats in Scotland...
Yeah.
That's
why
not,
are you leaving the tag
well?
On? Does he think he's down with the kids? Well, Do you think it's some sort of new era
I
thing?
I think he thinks, I can wear this a few times, send it back, I have to pay for it.
Chancer.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a chancer.
If you buy a Grimsby hat and it's slightly sweaty...
Yeah.
And you'll know who sweated it is.
What looks like blonde Labrador hairs on the hat.
Absolutely.
It's not Labrador hairs. It's the Prime Minister. But take the tag off, man.
It's not talk politics, Paul. It's talk sport.
It's not a music station
music. No, it's a very good point. I take it back.
I'm making no judgment about his politics. I'm talking about his headgear and the fact they're still attacking.
I am, but that's different.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I wonder what shirt's going to turn up then. I wonder
it's
what it's
exciting,
going to be.
Isn't
they, if they curate it, I mean, they'll give us a good one. It probably will be Plymouth Argyle third kit.
We'll open it live on air. Maybe you'll get Denmark 86.
That would be great,
be
wouldn't
a good
it?
One, wouldn't it? No, we'll open it live on air.
We can share it. I'll wear it some days.
That's sweet.
And you can wear it for training.
Tuesday, I'll wear it. Wednesday.
I'll wash it and bring it back. I'll wash it, obviously.
I used to open letters I got sent here on air until I opened on air a box of chocolates.
What
from
you
someone
thought?
Saying, thank you so much, Deborah. And I was like, I don't know who that is.
On the gaffer. Was she listening?
No, she doesn't. She wouldn't even know how to tune in. thing about having an affair is I'm just too lazy. Even if I really wanted to, I just couldn't be bothered.
I think you protest too much, mate. I mean, if she's not listening, she's probably not listening to the podcast.
So she knows.
She doesn't know
I'm
any
better.
I'm very
happy.
That's it. We're back tomorrow with a birthday spread. The birthday spread, amongst other things. Have a fine evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.